If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant thank you to Jesse P.S. and Lauren Besser. Those were great episodes, and I'm really thankful for them to be done and for you guys to listen to them. They're both really fun. How one of them even explored Brooklyn a little bit. By exploring Brooklyn, I mean we started at the Atlantic Terminal Mall. And it ended up over here. But it's all cool. It's all good. It's all groovy. But, you know, it's all exciting. You know, I try to keep the show going, exciting and everything like that. And I think you guys are doing a good job of listening to it. Still looking out for the perfect guest for number 200. There's a small group of people that want me to get Adam Sandler. And I will. If anyone can get me Adam Sandler, I'll do it. There's no reason not to. If you get me an actual, if someone has any connections with any actual celebrities that would be interested in the show, hchampod@gmail.com. Still trying to figure out what to do for that, but you know, it's exciting, it's all good. Fun day, it's a beautiful day out. Oh god, I can't handle how beautiful it is. And I spent most of the day in the museum today. Hey, that happens. But that's all good. You know, there's so many ways you can support the show. iTunes, rate us, review us. Today's 5-star review quote would be, "Do I love Hit the Mark when I'm sitting at Central Park with a bottle of wine in my hand that's not covered up, and like to listen to the smooth sounds of his voice and his guests." If you put that and give a 5-star review and thumbs up, email to hmpod@gmail.com. I will get you guys a free Hit the Mark t-shirt. Of course, you can go Zazzle, buy shirts, hats, mugs. You know the pitch there. So just go Zazzle.com. We have a store, everything you could ever want there. And of course, if you go to PayPal, Wow, I've been doing this so many times, I should know how to talk. If you go hitthemark.podomatic.com, you will see all the episodes there and a PayPal button on the side. If you want to donate as much as you want or as little as you want, help support the show. It's a free show. Loving it being free. You guys enjoy it a lot. Like I said, there's a lot of cool things happening. And yeah, today's guest is Brad Temple. Can't wait to talk to him. I'm so excited. I like this dude a lot. And been trying to coordinate our schedules forever, it feels like. But, you know, it's happened today. But before we get there, I have to do my quick film review. I saw Ex Machina, which just made his eyes open up. Okay, so Ex Machina, if you don't know what it's about, it's a very small film. It's about a Turing test. If you don't know what a Turing test is, it's basically a human talking to a robot. But they don't know it's a robot normally. And if they feel like they're just having a normal conversation, basically that's a pass to the Turing test. That's the easiest way to describe it. I know it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's the easiest way that I can describe it. So it's about this guy who does a Turing test in a very secluded area. And there's a lot of mysterious shit that happens in the movie. I don't want to ruin anything, but it's a really fantastic film. Really well done, really good sci-fi stuff. The girl who plays the robot's really hot, but, you know, that's kind of a requirement if you're making this kind of sci-fi film. Also, one of my personal acting heroes, Oscar Isaac, the reason I call him a personal acting hero is because I was technically taught by him briefly as an actor in 7th grade. And I mean, he taught at the summer camp I went to for that year, but that was fun too. And yeah, he's great in the film. Everyone's great. If you like, okay, so it's from the writer of Sunshine and 28 Days Later, Alex Garland. He wrote this film, he directed it. If you like those movies, you know we're going to get into it with this. So this movie fully hits the mark. It's actually one of my favorite movies of the year. There's so much I can't talk about in the movie just because I don't want to ruin it for you guys. I think it's still playing only in New York and LA. It might be expanded now. I know I saw it opening day in New York, so I enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, it totally, fully hits the mark. All right, so today's guest, I'm so beyond thrilled to have him. He is such a funny, funny dude. He is on Smokehouse, which is at Steakhouse, but Smokehouse, and Alcatraz, the one, the only Brad Temple. How are you, man?
Hey, Mark. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. As I told you earlier, I just came from the Natural History Museum today, and it was fun.
You said it was your first time?
Yeah, my first time.
That's crazy.
Almost 6 years I never went. It's the only major museum I just never went to.
Yeah. Did you have, like, a favorite section, or...?
I really enjoyed actually the like the American mammals, like sure. with the bears and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a really fun part.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I didn't really get a good chance to look at the whale in the room.
Yeah.
Because the bottom half was setting up for an event.
Oh, yeah. That's where they have all, like, the big dinners and stuff. Yeah.
Like, when we were leaving the Hayden Planetarium, they were, like, kicking us out. They were like, you have to get out.
Oh, bummer.
But I spent a good amount of time at Hayden Planetarium. It was fun. It was enjoyable.
It's definitely one of those museums you can spend, like, 3 days at if you really wanted to.
Yeah. But I really enjoy it. I'm, like, just, like, so, like, wow. But... really enjoyed it. And also, you know, today the Star Wars trailer came out.
Yes, I have seen the Star Wars trailer.
Wow, I just watched that because that film we were going to probably talk about a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be pretty good, hopefully.
And the appearance at the end made me very happy.
Oh, yeah. The Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Yeah.
Names escape me for some reason.
Like Harrison Ford and the big tall guy.
I'm terrible with names. That's one of my issues. But, you know,
I have some really bad names. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of people that I meet, like, randomly, like, bars, like, at, like, McManus, whatever, after shows, like, great job, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, blah, 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 and then, like, that's it.
Yeah.
And I see, like, a month later, I'm like, I have no idea who you are.
Oh, I get that. It takes me about 6 weeks, I feel like, in a new improv class to get to know everyone.
Really?
A lot of the time, yeah.
Wait, it could have taken that long for the improvised play.
No, the play, it was A, smaller, there were 12 instead of 16, and B, I knew a lot of people going into it.
So yeah, I feel like most of us knew who was in the class before it started, but, you know.
It's a fun class.
Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, totally.
I really hope we get into DCM.
It'd be fun, yeah, it'd be great to do
since, that. Since, 7 of the 12 of us are now on house teams?
I guess so,
yeah. Shit.
Yeah, a lot of good people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also congrats to our previous guest, Joe Leonardo.
Yeah,
he just got added to Southpaw.
Yeah.
The day before this aired.
I love that the day of Lloyd Knight, he was like, yesterday I was a different person, because it literally happened, like, the day before.
Yeah, like, 20 hours to know, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I like the theme of green you're wearing today, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Not intentional, but, lots of green. It's spring.
Yeah.
I think it's probably an unconscious decision.
Yeah. So, like, wait, because you're a man with, like, 1,000 hoodies.
Am I really? Oh, no.
No, because every time I see you, I feel you have a different hoodie on.
I have a few. I feel like I went through a bit of a hoodie phase, probably because in Texas you have, like, either straight summer or, like, winter, usually very little in between.
Right.
And so having, like, seasons, like spring right now and fall, requires you to wear something besides just a jacket or a shirt. So I fell into the hoodie trap for a bit. And Uniqlo, shout out to Uniqlo, makes
great
a lot of great hoodies.
Yeah. So you have, like, one of, like, every color, or?
I have quite a few. Dave Murray loves the purple one that I have, so...
The purple one you have is really nice.
Yeah, anytime I go by the training center, I gotta wear the purple one for Dave, just to brighten his day.
You're making it sound like he's, like, a special person.
I mean, it's a running bit, and sometimes I like to do bits just... Or, like, I like to keep a bit going just to see how long I can do it.
Yeah. So, are you saying that, like, we kept... postpone this episode because of a bit?
At least once it probably happened for the sake of, like, oh, let's stretch this out a little bit longer.
Right. Like, this episode was technically in the works since September.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, because I know, like, sometime during the improvised play class, like, I want to get everyone in the class to do it. So far, I still have to get Henry, Katie, who also agreed a long time ago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Gaia, and I think that's it.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
I think that's it.
Some of the best for the last year.
Yeah. And you're, like, firmly in the second, third.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And, I mean, like, for those... we actually had a date in the beginning of January, and then it got postponed, and... Because we're both very busy people.
I was going to go after Fulta, and then I had to go home for a bit for the holidays.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was going to be two... almost just said steakhouse again.
No.
Two steakhouses. I mean, two smokehouses.
Mm-hmm.
No. Whatever, it's all cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah.
No worries.
Hey, man, better late than never. I feel like as long as it happens and it's good, that's better than anything, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I'm having fun.
Me too.
Yeah, bro.
Plenty left to go.
Yeah. We've only been talking for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Not even.
A lot of yesing, a lot of agreeing, a lot of talking about our day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's just breaking down that tension, you know?
Sure.
It's the very strong tension that's always in the room.
Yes. I wanted to hold the silence of it.
Yeah. I don't know, like, in Phoebe Satsumari's episode, we literally are quiet for, like, a few seconds, just,
Ooh.
Yeah. Because there's just so much tension.
Sure.
So much. No, there's no tension. I don't know if I ever had any tension with any guest on the show.
I think you're a likable guy. You've got a disarming personality.
Well, I do the best I can.
Yeah.
So are you, dude.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're a very likable dude.
Yeah.
So tell me, okay. So, like, what was, like, your big, like, comedy or acting inspirations growing up?
I think it's a standard answer, but, you know, watching a lot of sketch comedy, like Saturday Night Live, I liked a lot. My parents got me into Monty Python. Just a lot of stuff that would come on, like, PBS that was from, like, over at
really, you're a big stuff. PBS watcher.
Yeah, enough. Late at night, I think that was where more of the entertaining television was coming on.
It's weird, because, like, I only watch PBS, like, for Arthur.
Oh, wow, okay.
But, like, that was it.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Monty Python and Red Dwarf, which is, like, a British spoof of, like, Star Trek type stuff.
Yeah, I've heard. I never actually watched Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big Python nerd, but I never watched it, like, on, like, PBS. I watched, like, the movies as a kid.
Yeah.
And then later I watched, like, videos of, like, best ofs and stuff like that, so.
Yeah. Other than that, The Adventures of Pete and Pete I liked a lot on Nickelodeon.
Oh, they make that show. I rewatched it, actually, a few years ago.
Oh, nice.
And it still holds up.
Yeah, it does a great job, and they have, like, lots of cameos, and it was in the right place at the right time for Nickelodeon to get away with, like, a weird
And we were, like, the show. Right age for it, both of us. Like,
yeah.
Being, like, higher single digits, you know, when it started.
I feel like you couldn't get away with it today, for kids at least, because it covers a lot of, like, more obscure or, like, I don't know, weird material for children's television.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's, like, I mean, the most, like, normal is, like, the Nightcrawlers episode, I feel like.
Sure.
For children's TV and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that happens, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, like, I feel like Nicktoons and her kids were, like, and stuff like that were just, like, so much more interesting than they are now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of a natural progression of things. Things that are a little bit, like, less polished and more rough around the edges, I think, kind of usually have better ideas, but aren't necessarily as, like, done. Or
yeah, like, Rocko's Modern Life is, like, a well-done cartoon. Like, I mean, it wasn't, like, polished, but it was, like, really well-done. Well written.
It was interesting and, captivating in ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? Loved Phil Hartman. I think that guy
is, I see you as a big Phil Hartman fan.
I think he's the best, like, still. And so it's always a bummer. I think it's, like, the one time I've ever been really upset about a celebrity death. Because a lot of the weird celebrity phenomenon doesn't really affect me that much.
Yeah.
But I just remember looking up to him a lot and thinking he was really, really funny. And then I just didn't understand the whole murder-suicide thing that his wife pulled.
I definitely understand that. Like, he's one of those people like, I liked as a kid, but like, I remember I didn't like him in The Houseguest. Do you remember that movie?
Okay, sure.
With Sinbad?
Yeah.
I just, for some reason, I did not like him in that movie.
That's fair.
That's like the one thing I'm like, yeah, Phil Hartman, boo, I don't like him. But like,
hey, it's
just all the way, I liked him.
Yeah.
Which is a weird one to
Jingle
like.
Yeah, I like Phil Hartman from his work in Jingle All the Way.
Okay, but I mean, like, when we were kids. Yeah. But, like, yeah, I feel like I didn't realize how good and versatile he was at until I was, like, 18.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I watched a lot of news radio. I watched a lot of SNL. I was seeing it pretty much.
News radio was so funny.
It was. It was a really great
show. It was such a great show. I watched, like, I rewatched it all, like, on, like, I think Netflix, and it was on Netflix. And I was like, wow, this still really holds up really well.
Also holds up.
And then, like, it got really bad towards the end after Phil Hartman's untimely death.
Yeah. I mean,
they did the best they could, honestly.
A combination of that and just, you know, how long can you keep a show going a lot of the time. Sometimes the wheels just come off after a while, I think.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, did you watch also like a lot of Just Shoot Me?
No, I did not.
Why?
I don't know.
I said like that. That was weird.
I just didn't. I think sometimes you get, like, really invested in a show.
Yeah.
My parents were big about watching The Simpsons and watching The X-Files, because I think they both came on Sunday nights.
Right.
And so I remember we'd watch that a lot. That was more like appointment TV. Sometimes we'd watch, like, Seinfeld. Never gotten to Friends. Never gotten to, like, Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, like, for some reason, like, I remember, like, being, like, obsessed with, like, Friends, of course, and, like, and News Radio. But I also remember, like, thinking, like, Just Shoot Me and News Radio were, like, pretty much the same show.
I could buy
But, like,
that.
They're not, like, at the same time, obviously.
Sure.
But, like, I remember, like, it was really weird, because I feel like I don't know. Maybe I was just, like, really into a show that was, like, not really for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, like, basically all Bally or one trying to have sex that the photographer got.
yeah. Yeah.
And Wendy Malick was really fun on the show. I don't know. I
haven't seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. David Spade was good.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now I know what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been like, a while. I was like, I've heard the show.
Yeah, it's the one that I want to say was also seen in the Flatiron Building, like Veronica's Closet and stuff like that.
Oh, Veronica's Closet. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm pulling like weird 90s like yeah. NBC references out.
Vehicles for Cheers alumni.
Yeah, and Suddenly Susan?
Suddenly Susan was another 90s yeah. show for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. The only other major influence I can think of probably, or inspiration, watched a lot of Letterman growing up.
That's cool.
It was really fun, yeah. Like, I just felt like he was weird, and I really appreciated his timing on jokes that he, like, would keep lopping up. It was fun just to yeah. be like, when's he going to deploy this again? Also, a person very good at just running bits constantly.
Uh-huh.
The whole Oprah Nopra thing that he would do yeah. a bunch.
Yeah. It's funny, like, think about back to, like, Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually see, like, the influence of Phil Hartman in you as a player.
Oh.
No, I'm serious. Because, like, the reason why is because, like, he was, like, one of the best Honest Three actors out there. And, like, someone that's played with you a lot is, like, especially in a form like The Play, where it's all about the honest reaction, like, you are one of the best, you are the best honest reactor out there.
Oh.
I mean, you didn't always have the biggest role in the plays.
Sure.
But you always had, like, a really good moment that was, like, either, like, one line in a scene or something like that, or, like, just something that was, like, really smart, you know?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I feel like I tend to play back a little bit, which is a note that I get a lot in class. And I'm working on. But, yeah, I think it's important just to play from the top of your intelligence.
Yeah.
And for me, I like straight manning more than I like being a character that's not an extension of myself. So, you know, normally I think I can bring the entirety of myself into a scene, which is something I didn't realize you could really even do with improv until I moved from Austin up to here in New York and had
yeah.
Will Hines, and it was like just an obvious, like, oh duh, I can, like, totally anything that's happened in my life can be a part of an improv scene. I have this whole wealth of knowledge and
yeah.
personality that I can just put out there and nobody knows the difference.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and plus, like, with your half, it was like Apruzzi and Bardia, and people are, like, very, very, very aggressive players.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was fun to let them hammer stuff, and then I could just, like, you know, find the ways to justify or make logic moves,
yeah.
or yeah, even in scenes where I got to, like, match or, like, had to go out a bunch with them, it was really fun just to see where we would wind up. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you were on stage for some of the funnier plays in that class, I feel like.
Oh, I don't know. I think everybody did great in that class.
I mean, I'm not saying my half was bad or anything.
Yeah.
My half was great. I love my half.
Yeah, totally.
But
Louis,
like,
Vega, man. That guy.
Joe Leonardo, man.
Joe Leonardo, also great. I'm
Dara
so
Katz.
Ah, Dara is the best. Like,
yeah.
We should take a minute just to say how great Dara is, I think. I've been in a few ASPs with her now. I think...
Right, because the
Real
Dormammu scene.
Yeah, which was phenomenal.
Really fun.
And, like, that was
yeah.
the first time I met Dara, and I was like, who is this? She's wonderful.
Yeah, she was, like, the only person I've heard of in the improvised play class.
Yeah. I think we did Sound and Movement Heralds with Don Finelli as well. I'm pretty sure she was in that, but definitely in the play as well.
Yeah.
Just, she's a force of nature,
yeah.
and great, and one of those people who, like, if a scene is, like, failing, or, like, you're feeling like you're going off the tracks, like, she's right there with you, and she's
yeah.
just gonna, like, go down with the ship, and, like, that's all you want in a player, in addition to just someone who's so supportive and trusting and...
Oh, totally.
Yeah, makes
yeah.
hilarious moves.
Dara Katz, guys, book her for her shows.
She's great.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I will wax poetic about anybody.
So, tell me what's like growing up in Texas, because I've never been out there.
Sure. I grew up in the Dallas area, the
right.
Dallas suburbs, specifically the suburb called Carrollton, which is where Vanilla Ice grew up on the mean streets.
Oh, nice. Is
yeah.
it actually mean streets?
No, not at all. I think he one time said he was from the streets, and we were like, oh, no, this is a pretty affluent white neighborhood at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. grew up there. Dallas is a bunch of malls and highways, and there's
a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of driving, a lot of good food. The food in Texas is great.
Yeah, I've heard, the barbecue there is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I am obviously more of a fan of Texas-style barbecue, which puts more of an emphasis on the meat than on the sauce, specifically beef, lots of brisket, things like that. Yep. And then after high school, I went down to Austin for college and stayed there for about 9 years total.
Where did you go to college?
The University of Texas.
Nice, yep. Nice. That's really cool. I mean, and Austin here is, one of the cooler places out there. That's
it is. Part. It's a wonderfully great, progressive, supporting city.
Is Dallas a progressive city?
Yeah, I think all of the cities themselves in Texas are going to lean more blue and feel a little bit more progressive.
Even like San Antonio, where I hear it's pretty...
San Antonio, I think, is getting there, yeah.
Okay.
I can't speak super well on it. I've been much, but I just don't know.
Like, I mean, I'm coming from me, who has never actually been across, the Mississippi.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people have weird misconceptions about Texas and their, political leaning. As a state, sure, it leans very red. But I think in time that's changing. And in the cities, it's largely blue. Houston has an amazing, Democrat of a mayor. What else? Austin's obviously been blue for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, like Dino Sargent tells me all the time about, how awesome, Austin was and stuff like that.
Yeah, so many great places. Hopefully when the Alamo Draft House opens up in Brooklyn soon.
Do you know where it's going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be in Fulton Mall.
Really?
Yeah. There, you can see that there's, a sign for it.
Wow.
It's over by... there's, an Armani Exchange.
Yeah.
And it's, in that little... There's a when's it opening? Left of it. I think probably next year at this rate.
Okay, because who was I talking to last yesterday? I was talking to one of my coworkers who lived in Austin for a little while. Mm-hmm. He was the only theaters I ever go to is the Alamos. I hate driving all Yonkers. Well, I'll gladly drive to anywhere else, but I mean, I will drive to Yonkers. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's when I'm coming to Brooklyn. Where?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Fulton Mall. They couldn't do the Upper West Side one because of Sandy. So they're going to work on this one now. The Yonkers one is up, and it's great, and I have a friend who works there who's wonderful. Her name's Jessica. She's great. I think when the Brooklyn one opens up, hopefully she'll be able to swing down this way more, and that way not have to commute so far.
Oh, she lives in New York? New York City?
Yeah. She moved from Austin to help train people to work at Yonkers, and right now she's managing up there.
That's cool. I really want to go to, Brands of Cargo, see a movie there sometime.
Yeah, you should. I think it's a great experience.
Friends to do it. It's it's kind of how I want to go visit, where, the whole Kevin Smith part of New Jersey.
Sure.
But I'm not going to go by myself, because that's a good zip car trip by myself.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where it's hard to justify unless you can put out, a friend's going up there.
Or
a cash away. Yeah. Definitely worth your time if you ever get to go.
Yeah, I really actually love to go to Austin sometime. I hear South by Southwest the best thing ever.
Yeah, South by Southwest is a lot of fun. I think this year was the first year that for a while it was such a phenomenon that all these different brands were really latching onto it in a way that was kind of weird for the city. Locals are always oh no, South by. I think the height of it was... Doritos launched a line of chips called Doritos Jacked.
And I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, they built a 6-story tall vending machine that was also a stage.
What?
And it was a 6-story tall vending machine. I've got pictures of it, which I can show you afterwards. The first year they had Snoop Dogg do a surprise concert in there. Second year...
Wait, so they behind glass?
It was an open stage on the bottom, but they did have the fake glass and these giant, huge bags of chips hanging above. It was weird and tacky, and it was in an abandoned parking lot, essentially.
Okay. But it wasn't a working vending machine, right?
It was not.
Okay. That'd be really funny if that was actually a working vending
machine. Yeah. They had these big quarters you could put into it, but it didn't actually work. I think you just got prizes in exchange
for okay.
it. The next year, they tried to put Lady Gaga in there. They, threw a bunch of money at her, and she was willing to do it, but the city of Austin, freaked out about, having that many people in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And so they, made Doritos book a larger concert venue and, not have it in the vending machine, and it caused such a hubbub.
Wait, was this vending machine a permanent thing, or was it just there for
South by? It was just there for South by. Okay. All these things pop up just South by.
I mean, it's not the vending machine, you're like, well, we built a 6-story tall vending machine.
Oh, they just brought it back. They're people love it, gotta have it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Did you ever like work Sapphire, or because I know like Sergeant worked it a little bit a couple times.
So I figured out that you can pitch panels. So there's the music festival, the film festival, and then interactive.
Right.
A bunch of my friends came one year from that were working at like Google and out in other places in California, because it's sort of like Silicon Valley spring break a little
right,
bit.
Right, right.
And they came down one year, and I just bought a gold badge, which is like interactive and film, and hung out with them, saw a bunch of movies, went to like interactive parties. Then I realized the next year, oh, I could probably pitch a panel about like improv, and if it gets picked, I'll get a free badge.
Yeah.
So I did that twice, and just got to give like little 15-minute presentations about improv and like how it could help people be more innovative, you know, basic stuff.
Yeah.
And
did you have like anyone cool on the panel, or was it just you?
The first year it was going to be me and another guy, but his mother died like really suddenly right before, and it was awful. And so he stepped out at the last minute, which is understandable. And then the second year, I just did a PowerPoint presentation real fast.
I'm just doing this as fast as I can to go see.
Yeah, and then I just got to see a bunch of movies.
That's hilarious. Like, was it crowded, those things, or?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a big, big conference. And, right, and like, there's so many overflow presentations to where people will just constantly walk in and out of stuff. Some of them are just impossible to get into because so many people are there. It's a really fun place to be at least once, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would love to go sometime.
Yeah.
Let's go next year.
Sure. Every spring break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know John St. Denis goes every year.
And he does. That guy's dedicated. He goes to Austin.
And he gets, like, in every, like, front row also.
Yeah. He's crazy.
I don't know how he gets every front row.
Yeah. Oh, the comedy thing has been taking off more and more, too. They have that whole, like, fourth part of the festival now.
Right. And, like, I mean, they have, like, a lot of your Wolf podcasts there. Mm-hmm. I know Gethard wasn't there this year, but, like, was there for the last few years and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, I just find stuff so cool.
Yeah, it's neat. Austin has so many festivals, which, like, South By is one of them. The Austin Film Festival is really great because it's screenwriter-oriented, which I find interesting. Got to sit in on a bunch of fun, like, watch a bunch of fun panels a couple years ago. My favorite music festival they do is called Fun Fun Fun, which is, like...
Oh, yeah?
A really neat... They have, like... Essentially, they break it up into, like, the more, like, hardcore, like, metal stages for one group, which is, like, this black stage. They have a comedy stage, which is, like, their yellow stage.
Right.
They have, like, more of, like, an indie slash hip-hop stage, which is blue. And then they have just another one that's, like, more electronica or something like that.
Okay.
And so they cover, like, all these different kind of underserved parts of the music scene.
Is it all local, or is it some national?
It's all around, and they'll, like, bring in headliners from, like, each different group. Like, one year they brought down Slayer was, like, the big name. It was fun, because it was sort of like, I would go to see other bands anyway, and then it'd be like, well, I guess I could stay for Slayer, and just to say, like, hey, I've seen Slayer.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Gwar that way.
That's cool.
Yeah, just fun things like that.
Gwar is, like, one of those bands I've always wanted to see just because Empire Records.
Sure.
Like, that's the only reason I'd ever want to see Gwar. Like, that's not my kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like music that hard.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Slayer actually is a different kind of hard, but, like, was the kind of hard that I liked. I liked really hard music.
Yeah. If you do want to see a little bit of Gwar, the AV Club does a really fun series every summer called AV Undercover, where they make a list of songs they want bands to cover, and then they invite a bunch of bands, whether it's like a buzz band or just a band that they have a good relationship with. And those bands come in, and in the order they come in, they get to look at the list and be like, we want to cover this song. And then they like learn it and do it.
Yeah.
So then the last band that comes has to do the very last song on the list. Gwar just always does an amazing job. Like, for some reason, they're one of the best at it. And like they've come back like three or four times.
I mean, like, what kind of songs have they done?
Oh, man, my mind is blanking me right now, but,
Like, are they all, like, but, like, are they
they're,
all,
like pop covers.
Are they all, like, turned up, like, hard version?
But, like, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. They're really more authentic, because some will do, like, some indie bands will do, like, a soft acoustic cover of, like, Toto's Africa or something. Yeah. And they're just more like, no, we're gonna either, like, fully embrace it, or we're just gonna put a fun spin on it.
Right,
in
right.
a way that, like, only, you know, War good bands can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not calling them like a band. I'm just saying, like, that's not really... Like, I just think that they'd be a really cool band to see.
It's fun, yeah. It's a weird experience. I'm not somebody that normally likes that kind of music, but I really enjoyed
the ZMB Cliff thing not a concert, right?
Or it's like a web thing. They, right. Like, they record it in a small little room in their office, and they do one a week or so.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I never knew about that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Check it out.
Yeah, yeah. So you went to University of Texas in Austin for what?
So my rationale there was I was either going to go there or Northwestern, and I wanted to stay in-state for better Austin tuition. Yeah, and I had two younger sisters and was like, I should just, get a nice, affordable college tuition. The degree programs I was in, I did biomedical engineering, and I did, they have an honors program called Plan 2, which sounds vague and weird, but it's, like, interdisciplinary. You basically get to take a bunch of classes in different disciplines, with professors who are all, like, really, kind of like leading professors in the university, and it's normally stuff that they're really interested in, but might not be, like, the reason they're at the university.
Right,
so it's sort of like, oh, I teach this, but I also have a weird hobby or passion for Scandinavian cinema. So they might teach a class on Scandinavian cinema. and it was really fun. Like, I learned so much, and you get to take so many different classes that you wouldn't normally take on a traditional degree plan.
Cool.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. I wound up graduating with that degree. My senior year, I decided I didn't want to be an engineer, so I dropped out of that and started doing improv.
Nice. And did you always want to do improv, or was it just like...
It was one of those things where, like, I felt like I would be good at it, but I was afraid to try.
Okay.
And my freshman year, I auditioned for, like, a college improv team.
And I know, like, UT has a strong improv...
They do. They, like, our Plan 2 had one that was kind of small, and I auditioned for that, and I was too shy and nervous at the time to even, like, get close. And then a bunch of those people that also didn't make it that year formed a group called Giggle Pants, which is a hilarious name for improv team.
Yeah.
And those guys are still, like, that is, like, a brand or, like, a force in UT improv.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, they're still going strong. I basically wound up just seeing an ad for improv classes downtown, and it wound up being one of the instructors was from that original group that I auditioned for.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, he's still down there doing stuff. His name's Andy Crouch. He's a good dude. The Hideout Theater is where all the improv was at the time. And since then, it kind of, like, went... it expanded back out into a bunch of different theaters.
Yeah, I know a couple people in the Austin scene have told me about that. Like, how it's... Yeah, it's just... Like, the Austin scene's really... Like, there's a lot of people from the Austin scene that's in New York right now.
Yeah, there's a big migration heading this way, which is kind of cool. There's been a lot of talent in Austin, and... For a while, it used to be people would get really good at improv, and they would, like, shoot off to Chicago and disappear there. But lately, it seems like the majority of people that have been moving have been coming this way.
Although I feel like right now we're in a big Chicago migration right now.
Sure.
That's what it feels like.
In terms of people coming?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a whole group of people from,
From the Annoyance Land. Like, I feel like there's, like, 10 new people I've never seen a day, like, every day. They're, like, well-established. In that world, at least.
Sure. I mean, yeah, and the Annoyance opened up its theater in Brooklyn, which is a cool space.
Awesome space. Yeah. I've done two shows there and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, like, and also, like, I feel like the Austin migration started a few years ago, right?
I moved up in 2012, and I know some other people moved
up. Did you guys all grew up, like, a bunch of guys moved around the same time, though?
Not entirely. It just kind of happened.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying you guys all got an apartment in Brooklyn together.
No.
Like, I feel like everyone that's the Austin scene does, from the Austin scene, does live in Brooklyn, though, pretty much.
a lot of us do. Yeah. I know Katie Sicking and Nick Ramirez live more in, like, the upper, like, Harlem area, or, like, Morningside Heights, somewhere around there.
Yeah. I know Sargent. I think Sargent Robinson lives around here.
Oh, yeah. JPR is somewhere. I don't know.
he's somewhere. We don't know where.
He's somewhere.
He's actually in my courtyard somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have some more friends that are thinking about moving soon, so it's cool. It's been nice. A lot of us over at Cold Town Theater is the one where I found a good home after a couple of years at the Hideout, which was fine. It was just... They are more like the Keith Johnstone narrative long-form way, which is fun, but not for me. And then I saw a show in Austin at a festival. They have an improv festival down there on Labor Day weekends called Out of Bounds.
Oh, I would love to go there.
Check out Out of Bounds. I think it's outofboundscomedy.com.
I won't be able to make it this year, though, unfortunately.
Sure.
Got some weird plans that I can't even talk about yet for Labor Day weekend.
Okay, sounds nice and vague. I'm looking forward
to it. That's purposeful.
Good, good. but yeah, I saw this like legendary IO team do a Herald. It was like probably like the first really good Herald I've seen.
Yeah.
The first that wasn't like some group studying out of like Truth and Comedy, being like, I guess this is a Herald. But they were called The Reckoning, and they just did this like
amazing Herald. I actually heard of them,
yeah, they're so good. I think it was only like six of the members, it's like the show that when we had to apply for advanced study, you had to like write about like a show that influenced you at the time. And I was like, this show I saw in Austin with The Reckoning was just amazing. That alone was like, I need to either like leave Austin or like start studying more like Chicago style. So I enrolled in classes at Cold Town, had a great time with all of those people. Like, they're still great, and they perform at DCM like every year. Great to check out.
Well, yeah, they probably have a couple teams that come up, right?
Yeah, they normally have like one build as like Cold Town Tour Co, and then they bring up groups like Midnight Society and
I've seen Midnight Society. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were at like the first day at the Beast last year.
That might be right.
Yeah, because I was working it that day. So, cool. Yeah.
So did a bunch of that. I think also right when I was planning on moving either to Chicago or just out of Austin around 2011. I think that's when I was just ready to go. And Matt Besser came down for Austin Film Festival to promote Freak Dance.
Fun movie.
Yeah, fun movie. Yeah, I felt like it didn't get the reception he quite wanted, which is unfortunate. I think it was really entertaining. But he did, like, his lecture series. He was doing a bunch of lectures about his views on improv and, like, why he thinks UCB is, like, you know, the proper school or, like, for him, like, the only, like, real textbook school for, like, teaching a certain specific view on improv. And he, like, went through this entire lecture and kind of won me over on it to where I was like, okay, yeah, a lot of these terms that I've seen in Chicago workshops or just, like, in classes don't really have a clear definition. Maybe I should, like, it put UCB on my mind.
Right.
And I visited up in New York that winter and really, really had a good experience at the theater and was like,
oh, do you remember your first show you saw at UCB?
Ooh, I think it was a Death by Ruru show.
Sounds like a perfect show.
Yeah.
Especially back then. I think that Mike Still was still there then.
He was. I remember briefly seeing Still before he moved.
And Gemberling, of course, was up there too.
Oh, God. Gemberling's the best.
Gemberling and Mike Still are people I miss so much from seeing, like, weekly.
Sure.
So I used to catch Ruru almost every Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, I the first Ruru I saw was, like, one of Adam Pally's last, so I didn't really see him too much, but, like, I mean, fall in love with Tamanik and Mike Still and Gavin and Gemberling and John Burt and Neil Casey. Ugh.
Yeah, all phenomenal people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of glad the name has changed just because, like, I feel like
it was such a
different entity. Yeah. And that's fine.
Like, and GOAT's a great team.
Yeah, they're still all great people. It's just not the same. You know, it's a different being, I guess.
So you had a good experience.
I had a great experience, and I decided to go ahead and give New York a shot first before Chicago. So I moved up here in, like, the end of March 2012 and started a class literally, like, pretty much the next day, like, over the weekend.
Do you remember who your first teacher was?
It was Will Hines.
Cool. Yep. Oh, wow, that's great. He taught 101? Or was it 201?
It was a 101 intensive. It was him and Patrick Clare.
Okay.
And he was there the first day and was like, normally I do not teach 101, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, never seen teach anything lower than like a 301.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to review what 101 was like and was just trying to like have an experience with it. And it was great. Like, I couldn't have had a better teacher out the door.
Yeah. I was very fortunate to actually have him before moved to L.A.
Yeah. I had one of those, like, final ASHs.
It was, like, I want to say a six-week one. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it might have been 8 weeks, actually.
I think he did 2 8-week
ones. Yeah, because, like, it was all, like, rock star people, like Matt Little and, like, Jesus Christ, and, like, a blanket of names, like Sarah Waynone was in there.
Sure.
And just a lot of people. I'm like, oh, my God, I love all these people, so.
Yeah, we had a similar experience in ours. I know Pat Regan was in there, Sean Casey, a bunch of just heavy hitters.
Yeah.
It was really fun to watch and be a part of.
Yeah.
Some of my best scene work, I think, was just in that class.
I remember being so scared that first day. I guess it's so weird, because, like, there's like two teachers that Larry had, like at least as a one off or whatever, that have terrified me, but they're friends of mine, like Will Hines and Chris Gethard. Like I did one of those Gethard workshops too, like last summer.
Me, I get that.
And like he's an actual friend of mine, and I was so intimidated, I couldn't even make a good move.
Sure. I mean, that guy is so good at these like highly efficient moves where it seems like he's not even trying, but you can tell he like he's just really good at like in a single stroke, like making like a very critical move.
Yeah.
And I think that like, that's some of the best improv. Like that's the stuff I aspire to do, I think.
No, I actually do the same thing. Like I hate the fact that like most of my moves don't feel that efficient. I mean I feel like they're effective, but not that efficient. I'm trying to be more efficient with my moves. But like I just remember like in that Gethard workshop to say I went to the bathroom or break and I was like put water in my face like dude, breathe.
yeah, I get that.
Like, have you ever had that kind of experience, like, with a teacher? Or?
Oh, totally. I think that a lot of advanced study for me was just, like, struggling with getting, feeling like, okay, I'm here, and I'm capable of doing this, and, like, I'm good at this. Like,
yeah.
I beat myself up a lot. I think that's just a natural thing people do, and it's, you know, you gotta remember that you're better than you probably think you are.
Yeah.
My first advanced study class was with a Tamanik, and it was like...
I've still never been taught by him.
Oh, so great.
Like, he's something like a Chelsea Carr class at like a couple of years ago, but like that's it.
He is like such a different kind of teacher and supportive, even though he'll give like really good notes that are like hard. Like, he's always on your side, even when he's like making fun of you and, like, in a constructive way. Like, definitely one of the formative teachers I've had. Like, you know, I think Will's probably up at the top, and he's right behind him. We had an all-guy class that we called...
Oh, you were in the gym class.
Gym class, yeah. It was nuts, but it was super fun, and it was just one of those things where it became its own entity, and by the end of it, he was sort of like, the lesson plan's out the window. We're just gonna, like, do what I think is the right thing to do at the time. And, yeah, some of those first weeks, I think you're always kind of like, oh, God, I don't want to screw up in this class. And then by the end of it, you're just learning to, like, lean into things and to make a bunch of moves.
Like, I have a weird question. Like, when you moved to New York, like, what was it, like, weird for you to adjust from, like, the Austin lifestyle to New York lifestyle?
In a way, sure, just because I think Austin's very relaxed and kind of chill.
Yeah, you're like, I hate the word you're chill. A chill dude.
I
would qualify as, I mean, I know you well enough to know you're not fully chill.
Sure.
But like, I mean, you're on the chill spectrum though.
Sure, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be the voice, I don't know.
Sure, I'll buy that. I really like Austin a lot, but I think sometimes it's a little too relaxed for me, and I was looking for a place where people were, like, hustling and bustling and moving around, and I don't know why, but, like, I get this kind of, like, energy in me. Like, I get kind of, like, revved up, like, just riding the subway with a bunch of people. It's like you feel, like, alive. And
I've actually seen on the subway you knowing that I've seen on the subway, though. There was one time I was on the subway, like, from a different car, and I actually saw you, and I was like,
creepy.
Brad, stare into the windows. But, like, no, it's like, I saw you kind of, like, a little bit more, like, rocking out to the music.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. I like to listen to podcasts. I like to listen to music down there. But, yeah, like, I it was such a fun change. Like, New York's obviously huge, and it takes a while to get used to that. But it was an adventure, and it still feels like an adventure. And, yeah, I really like the lifestyle up here a lot more.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
My brain just started there. So let's talk about Smokehouse.
Yeah, sure.
How'd that get formed?
Smokehouse formed at the end of 2013, beginning of 2014. I was in a practice group with Danielle DiPaolo, Alcatraz, actually.
Did Alcatraz form earlier?
No. Alcatraz, I guess we can start there. They are, essentially what happened was, Kelly Cash performs a monthly show, but Kelly Cash can't always practice, because a lot of those dudes
have been around forever and are super
on teams,
busy.
And are just super busy. Like, I know Cassie is really busy, Phil Jackson is not even here anymore, but, like, a lot of those people are like...
He's not dead, guys.
Yes,
he's just really busy in LA.
But a lot of them, like, just straight up couldn't practice, so I know that members of Kelly Cash were like, we want to do a practice group, and we'll just try to invite three or four people from classes that we like. And for some reason, I got picked from Danielle or Sean or somebody, I don't know who, and got to try out, or like not even try out, just play for a week and see if it was fun. I had a great time. Since then, we've just constantly been adding like really great people, like.
Because I haven't seen Alcatraz in a long time.
We don't play shows that often.
Well, like, I mean, because I remember when I did Jeremy's Kids about this time last year.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's, like, when I first saw you guys.
That's
I remember
one of the few shows we've done,
It was, like, Sean Casey reached out to me, being like, hey, you guys, you're having this crazy Jeremy Bent coach show, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we want to be in it. And like, I'm not going to say no to Sean Casey. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so it's
are you guys still coached by Jeremy, or?
No, we've switched around a few times.
I know, like, right when Jeremy's Kids happened, it is when he got hired at DC and had to drop almost all of his teams.
Sure, yeah.
If not all, I'm not sure, but...
I think he took a break on coaching. I don't know if he still does as much. Great coach.
He coaches Fallen Sox every once in a while.
Okay, cool.
But we're now on practice hiatus, so...
Sure, I see that.
Because one of us, as you know, we're not fully staffed right now as a team.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Happens to the best of us. I have a team that's kind of defunct called Hinky that does that a lot.
Hinky's such a fun team.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen you guys a couple times.
Yeah. It was fun. I went to Cincinnati with them, had a great time.
Yeah. So is Alcatraz still like practice?
Alcatraz practices every week. We take usually 1 week off a month, which is nice. I think that's like the right balance for this group. It's a lot of people who have other performance opportunities or like are on house teams now. Like
Who's on team now? Sorry.
Okay, no, it's fine. From the original Kelly Cash group, it's Jeff Miller, Rocco, I forget Rocco's last name.
Margiota.
Danielle DiPaolo, Sean Casey, and Mael Dolivo, who's tremendous.
I've only seen her like three times my entire life.
She's
someone I just don't know.
Yeah, she's great. She's such a wonderful artist, and she is very bold and makes all these moves. Like, everybody. Like, I could do this with everybody. I feel mean just picking on one person, because everybody does these, like, great things. I said Sean already, I think. And then for a while, it was me, Kim Cutt, and Caitlin Puckett. They've since left, and currently we have, in addition to me, Jonas Gravis, Alex Teague, Richie Moriarty, who are all just...
I don't know who Richie is, but they're...
Richie's great. Like, that's a name that if you don't know, you will, because he's just tremendous, does a lot of acting stuff. He's in an episode of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, who's in it?
He has a headset and is like a... I haven't been to the episode yet. It's one of the last episodes.
Okay.
He's really funny. Check him out.
I mean, I've watched the whole series twice.
So, IMDb him, you'll find him. But yeah, all those people are just great and very impulsive and do a lot of good scene work, and it's fun just to like hang out with them and feel like, oh, maybe I can be a part of this.
You're pretty fucking good.
Oh, dude. I know. I just, in my head, I don't do that.
I understand that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in that same boat. I mean, I'm competent in my mind, and that's about it. Like,
no, I get it. Yeah, I totally do. And Smokehouse kind of formed because Danielle was looking for a good team to practice for Herald auditions.
Right.
And just wanted to be like, I want to put a group that's like focused and really dedicated together. And it wasn't just her doing, but like, I got roped in, Corey Palmer got roped in. I mentioned that I think James Folta is one of the best dudes in the scene.
He is an A-plus solid human being.
James Folta, and the funniest Rogue show. There are so many things about that guy. Like he was a carpenter. He knows so much about architecture. He was a trained mime for a bit. Like,
I didn't even know that, but that makes sense, because I've seen him do like object work.
Tremendous space work.
When we were in this room, like, during the episode, he's like talking about things.
Oh, the molding. Yeah,
molding, how to fix everything. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, it doesn't need to be done, but okay.
Yeah. So we picked up him, and then within a week, I think we got Bill DiPiero, Zach Goldbaum, David Greenslade, and Malin von Uhl.
I hate all those people.
Oh, yeah.
They're all terrible human beings.
They're all tremendous, and thank goodness, four of them are now
and
on the house team.
I got it, because I think it would do great disservice to David Greenslade if I didn't say this. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you see him, just call him Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
No other context.
Sure.
Just call him Taco Bell, okay? It's a thing I have with him. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm-hmm. I watched you guys walk into that Taco Bell.
Right, you did. And you saw him walk back in, probably, also.
Because
the guy likes Taco Bell.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with it, especially when it's after midnight.
Yeah. But Smokehouse formed. We started practicing pretty weekly. We auditioned as a team last year.
Yeah.
Since then, Mullen got added, like, in November or December to Lloyd. And then this year, we auditioned in separate groups, I think, for the most part. And Greenslade got on, Bill DiPiero got on, Corey Palmer got back on the Herald Night, which is
awesome.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
That alone, like, that, I think that was a moment where I felt intimidated, because when I was a 101, 201 student, funniest person I saw on Herald Night, without a doubt, was Corey Palmer.
Yeah.
And so being on a team with him was extremely intimidating, even though he's such a friendly, supportive dude.
Yeah, such a good dude.
Yeah. And I learned so much just from, like, being in the same room as that guy.
Yeah.
And you learn from everybody, but, like, yeah, there's just so many things that you can do in addition to just, like, thinking, like, oh, I want to do good improv or whatever, that he just kind of naturally does because he's just funny.
Yeah. Who's coaching you guys now? Are you guys not practicing very much?
We haven't really practiced too much. We still do shows every now and then. We went to North Carolina over Valentine's Day weekend for the Comedy Arts Festival,
right,
which was cool. That was kind of our last major show. Hopefully we'll do DCM in a little bit.
Yeah. We'll all find out about that, like, in a few weeks.
Yeah. We have had, who all has coached us? Brandon Scott Jones coached for a while. Drew Johnston coached us at first for a bit.
Oh, that's so cool.
He's so great. Lydia coached us for a week or two. Just a lot of Grandma's Ashes people.
Yeah. Sweet, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Like, yeah, and Smokehouse is just a really, because you guys even went to Cage Match.
Yeah. We did an indie Cage Match 3 weeks in a row. Didn't really practice for them. But, you know, I think with some people, we were just in enough of a zone, and that's such a group where literally anybody can have, like, an on day and just, like, carry everybody else, even though, like, that team doesn't need carrying. It was just, the focus could get shared so well, and it could be like, all right, Mullen's about to go off, or like, all right, here goes Folta, and, yeah, everybody on that team can just bring the heat, like, oh, God, I remember a practice where Danielle DiPaolo was just doing a bunch of somersaults.
That girl makes me laugh
so
hard.
She's
so
funny, yeah.
Yeah.
She's so physical and warm. And
you're making me really think about, I know this is said, only 12 people I would ever listen to this show would ever know about, Gooper.
Oh, yes.
My favorite character I've ever seen him play.
Aw.
The villain in one of the plays. Well, not the full out villain, but a villain in one of the plays.
Stupid names.
Who named you Gooper?
Oh, I think Joe Leonardo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because he loves to give people dumb names.
Yeah.
which I love.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But like, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that was like you, like, taking forefront, like, fully, like, I'm on stage, and my character's an asshole.
Yeah.
In the weirdest way possible.
I am not capable of doing things normally, I don't think.
Oh, you can be a normal guy.
Oh, no. Yeah. More or less. We'll see.
I mean, you can, I'd like to say that I can fake being a normal human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a robot sometimes. I'm just like, I am emulating human behavior perfectly.
So does this mean I'm failing the Turing test?
Yes. I hate to inform you.
I guess you passed the Turing test.
I have passed, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, that's a weird way.
Smarter child or whatever. Yeah.
It's like, wow, guys. Ex Machina is real, guys. You should see it. I think you'd really like it.
I have been meaning to. So when you mentioned it, I was like, I do need to go see that. I forgot it was out.
I mean, it just came out as of right now, 6 days ago.
Okay.
But when this aired, it was like 10 days ago.
Sure.
So, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Getting ready to wrap up. What's something about Brad Temple people might not know that you're okay sharing?
What is something about Brad Temple that people... Ooh, man, I am not sure. Oh, I host a weekly pub quiz. I work for
a cool company
called Geeks Who Drink. They're about to do a TV show with that guy from Chuck. Zachary Levi or whatever
Levi.
His name is. Levi.
Yeah, because it's L-E-V-I.
Yeah,
so
Levi.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just a weekly pop culture based pub quiz.
And how's that been going? Because I know, like, for a while it was like not many people.
Yeah, it depends on the venue that you have. Yeah. For a while, I was doing one in Manhattan at like an upscale sports bar, which I don't think is the best fit for us.
Right.
I currently do over at the Rock Shop in Carroll Gardens on Wednesday nights. We start at 8:30. It's about 2 hours, and lots of teams. They have a back patio, which is great.
Great.
It's so much fun. I've been working for that company since I lived in Austin.
I mean, what's hosting a pub quiz?
It's fun. It's you have to be able to be fair and tough, but also have a good sense of humor about things and be able to, like, really improvise in case you're dealing with, like, drunk assholes or
does that happen often?
Yeah, I think when people get too drunk and then they, like, don't know a whole lot about trivia, they start to get really upset with you and they can just call you names for no reason or shout out the answers and try to be mean. And so a little bit of crowd control, but
do you have to be sober for the job, or...?
You don't have to, no. I prefer to maybe have, like, a drink to unwind, but not too much, just because I like to make sure I'm not going to make any mistakes or...
Be like, yeah.
I run a tight and fair ship, and I think that the people that tend to come to my quizzes appreciate that, like, I'm not going to play favorites or, like, make a weird mistake or mispronounce a name or stuff like that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the most important part of a pub quiz. I actually really want to go out there. I just got to find a team to go out there with.
Come check it out one
week. And a Wednesday that's available for me.
Yep.
Wednesdays have been weird again. Like, they've been scheduling me at work on Wednesdays. Now the Gethard show's on hiatus.
So sorry.
Well, cancel till end of May when it goes back on, and obviously won't be on Wednesday nights at 11.
Sure.
Yeah. I think, I don't know when it airs, but I think it was like May 29th or something, like 10, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know anything. I just know that it's coming back.
Yeah. Also,
yeah.
I feel like we should plug the Rug Show real quick.
We're going to get there, don't we? Actually, you almost...
It's nothing I'm involved with.
No, actually, you kind of... So, yeah, now the part where I'm like, so anything you want to play that you're not involved in?
Not involved in? Great, yeah. The Rug Show.
Where you're a regular audience member.
Yeah, I go a lot. They have since moved locations. They're kind of, like, on the fly.
James and Matt told me about, like, what happened. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, nothing bad for them. It was just the bar's management changed, and as a result, they had to kind of find a new place.
Fun fact, I saw the Rug during a 12-hour set.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because Matt had it bringing with him.
Nice.
I was on stage when he walked backstage and put the Rug backstage. Yeah. They're like, that's awkward. And had to reference that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're good dudes, supporters and listeners of the show.
Yeah.
Big
friends of the show. Yeah. Great dudes.
Find the Rogue Show on Facebook to figure out where they're going to be on a Sunday night, what time they start. Sometimes they start earlier than others.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake before.
Oh, you show up too early or too late?
Too late, usually. But yeah, all those people are great. Katie Ruth.
Derek Katz.
Derek Katz again. Yeah. And our homeboys, Matt Nelson and James Holta.
Blonde on Blonde.
Yeah, Blonde on Blonde.
Any other plugs you want to plug? Besides that are not involving you.
sure. Man, this is also a great thing that one of my former roommates used to be involved with. He's since moved to D.C., and again, James Holta is involved with this, but they do the Night of Humorous Readings once a month, and that's tremendous. Like, that honestly might be the best comedy show in New York right now, I think.
Yeah.
They invite people...
They should put that on the poster.
Because my opinion matters.
This might be the best comedy show in New York, ..
I think so, yeah.
Brad Temple.
Uh-huh. They invite people, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar and you're in the New York area, I think it's at Hi-Fi Bar once a month.
Great
usually
bar.
On a Thursday night. They invite all sorts of super funny writers that write long-form, like, humor pieces, something you would read in McSweeney's or in the New Yorker in the Shouts and Murmurs section. And they have them just read stuff that they're working on or stuff that they feel good about. And, like, some people, like Seth Reese, who was, like, the head writer of The Onion and now writes for one of the late-night shows, they will just delight you for, like, an hour. And James Holta and Luke Burns, who's a mod writer and one of this triumvirate, along with Brian Agler, my former roommate, they read their own stuff as well. James and Luke have a encyclopedia of hypothetical police procedurals.
Which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious, and it won the Tumblr Great Book Search a week or two ago. So, they might have a book on their hands shortly.
James Holden, guys. This guy, if you don't know him, you should know him.
You should. I'll talk about him more than I'll talk about myself.
But that's 3 hours later.
Deprecating. Other fun shows. I mean, my roommate Eamon Giblin is on a team called Carb.
Which are always in cool things.
Yeah. They have a monthly show in a yoga studio. You should check that out. My other roommate, Mike Green, does a lot of stuff with his sketch team, Scott Beowulf.
And who's been mentioned, that team's been mentioned a lot.
Good, yeah. Back
50 feet away from one of the windows napping.
Yeah, find those opportunities to watch their videos or whatever. Yeah, so Red Hot Video Fun Time, I think, is another great show. So that's good. Another top tier.
Still mad that I forgot to fucking submit this time. I felt actually good about my submission. I'm going to submit again next time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many good things that are just, like, right outside of the theater, which are, yeah, just, it's nice to know enough people, or, like, to know friends of friends who know, like, great comedy shows in the city that are just happen, kind of, like, pop up in the moment.
Totally, man. What about plugs for your Twitter, Tumblr, shows, etc.?
Oh, man. I think Alcatraz is doing Indie Cage Match in May sometime.
Nice.
So, or May or late April. I think May.
Are you guys indie enough?
We are. We are. We're officially a little bit below half.
Right, right.
Of house team members. So, I think five of us are not. So,
that's good
on us. Twitter is just at Brad Temple. I got nothing going on too much other than that. You can find me at the Fort Greene Crunch a lot at nighttime.
Yeah, that's a really nice crunch.
Yeah, it's a fun little place.
Yeah, I used to go there a lot when I worked at BAM because I had a membership to all the crunches.
Yeah, I'll probably be there right after this recording. So if you can listen to this and hop back in the time machine.
Yeah, like to about like 8 p.m. on Thursday, April 16th.
Yeah, sounds right.
Sorry, I was like, what day of the week is it?
Yeah. Day after tax day is all I know.
Yeah. I only have to worry about that till October. I had to get an extension.
Oh, good work.
Issues. I'd rather have it done and get my refunded by Broadway ticket.
Sure.
Okay. My plug's quickly at MarkLeeV85. Mm-hmm. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I also should say at MarkLeeV85 is the Twitter. You probably know that, but, you know, it's the Twitter. Okay. I didn't mention this last time, Improv Bingo, or if I did mention it, I didn't mention it the way it needs to be mentioned. Myself and Andy Wohler are putting together this insane show that if you see stuff at UCB and know what everyone's favorite game show is, this is similar to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the easiest way to describe it. It's not at all like that, but similar enough to that. Basically what it is, there's going to be three improv teams, which will be the first show, Centaur, Hussein, and Umbrella Man. They're all going to be doing improv sets. You walk in as an audience member, you pay your $1 or buy a drink, and you get yourself a bingo card. If you get five of the tropes in a row, as in, like, tropes as simple as, hey, everyone get in here, to as weirdly specific as a Southern courtroom drama.
Great.
If you get five of those in a row, you win a bingo, and you will win a prize. Some of those prizes do involve some of the characters that we have. Characters will be played by Manolo Moreno, Scott Friedstein, and Leah Spiegelman. It's going to be a really fun show. There might be a dance party.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's one of the prizes. Okay. April 28th, which is a Wednesday, at the Treehouse Theater at 11 p.m. Okay. $1 or a drink.
Yeah.
Also, May 7th, I know I said it last time, Formers from the Bucket. Oh, God, I shit myself with happiness with this lineup. It's Hussein again.
Wow.
I'm producing two shows with Hussein in it. Apollo, which is one of my favorite recent Harold teams, and Rox, one of my favorite unique Harold teams.
Rox, yeah.
I saw like a reunion for them, man. Come out to that May 7th, Thursday, 11 p.m. At Treehouse. A lot of weird things are happening. Oh, also don't worry. I'll plug that next time. There's so many things happening, Brad.
Sure.
Not enough time. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.
Woo!